to our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. Beckoning God, as you moved in the lives of your people in the past, move in our lives this day, inviting us to journey to unknown territory, to listen for your voice, and to speak your prophetic word in the world that does not want to hear. Empower us with your spirit as we share in this time of worship. Give us the courage we need to journey, to listen, to speak, and to accept your commission to be your faithful servant people, made free to serve and love you and all of your children. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, the first 7 verses. You can follow along on page 162 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. Moses convened all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the fire. At that time, I was standing between the Lord and you to declare the words of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This liberating God, of whom we just heard tell in our reading from Deuteronomy, of whose liberating work we sang as we gathered this morning, has continued that liberating work in Jesus Christ. And it is to that end that Paul writes to the Galatians in the 5th chapter, speaking of the freedom that belongs to those who are members of Christ's body. I invite you to listen now to our New Testament reading from the 5th chapter of Galatians, reading verses 1 through 6 and then verses 13 through 15. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." The word of the Lord. Well, maybe you've heard something in the news about this Brexit vote that happened last week as the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. Well, at least portions of the UK voted to leave anyway. Scotland apparently is very much inclined to stay, which is tipping them toward their own referendum, possibly to leave the United Kingdom. What a mess. Things are very complicated, and I have a very strong sense that I don't really understand exactly what all is going on. But, of course, I say all of this as we are celebrating our 240th anniversary of our own Brexit from England, as it were, our Independence Day, when we declared ourselves free from what we then knew as the tyranny of Great Britain. Or as someone said on Twitter a few days ago, "Dear England, thanks for the 3-day weekend, signed the original Brexit." From what I can tell, for many of the citizens of the UK who voted to support leaving, this Brexit vote was about freedom or lack of freedom. Freedom from what they believe to be the economic and other constraints imposed upon them by their membership in the European Union. But for some, hopefully not too many, but more than anyone would want, it turns out that this vote was also about freedom from their non-British neighbors. Since last week's vote, there have been reports, too many reports, about how English citizens have turned on their neighbors in a horrifying display of xenophobia and racism and more. Cards and signs posted in windows saying, "No more Polish vermin," have been posted in neighborhoods where there are a number of Polish folk living. Many of those Polish children are scared now to go to school. Schoolboys cornered a Muslim girl shouting, "Get out, we voted leave." A man in a supermarket this week became agitated and shouted, "This is England now. Foreigners have 48 hours to get out." "Who is foreign here?" he asked. "Anyone foreign?" He pointed to the man in front of him in the line and he said, "Where are you from? Are you Spanish? Are you Italian? Are you Romanian?" Turns out the man was English. Even fourth and fifth generation immigrant families, be they Arab or European or other, have been told, "You shouldn't still be here. We voted to be rid of people like you." As one of those folk was getting off of a bus, the woman behind her asked, "Shouldn't you be packing?" They've just voted for their freedom from the European Union, but this is what many of those folk are doing with their freedom. Now, what they are doing is one way of understanding what freedom is about. Freedom from any perceived external constraint or threat, be it a person or a group or race of people or a policy or a nation. That is a popular understanding, no longer having to deal with the presence of those constraints. We generally understand freedom as maximum autonomy, able to chart our own course without someone else telling us what to do or taking away our ability to determine our own lives. And this sort of freedom can be quite wonderful. I mean, because who really wants their lives to be limited or shaped by the choices that other people make or the way that other people are living? Well, bless the Apostle Paul's heart, I think he does. And his letter to the Galatians is an extended conversation with a congregation in which two very different groups of people, people who had been Jewish, people who had been Gentile, are now trying to get along without much success. They are rightly celebrating the freedom that they share in Christ, but they are making a very poor use of that freedom, turning it into a means by which they end up, maybe unintentionally, but really nonetheless, discriminating against one another. On one hand, some want to return to the rigor of the law, establishing their relationship to God through their own obedience rather than receiving that relationship as a gift that God has given in Christ. That's what all that talk about circumcision is about, by the way, a sign of the believer's intention to live according to the rigor of Torah. But doing so is serving to split this congregation apart. Because some want to do such things as keeping kosher, only eating certain kinds of food, while others believe that they don't have to live that way. They can eat whatever they want. Practically speaking, it's making it very difficult for the church to gather to share meals. So Paul is putting questions to them. What are you doing with your freedom? Are you simply returning to some sort of slavery to the law? Are you using this freedom to push away your neighbors, your fellow church members who aren't like you, who don't share your heritage or tradition? What is your freedom for? What are you doing with it? It turns out, Paul says, that this freedom is quite paradoxical. On the one hand, freedom in Christ means no longer having to live as a servant to the law, no longer having to measure your day by whether you are good enough or faithful enough. Trying to be good this way all of the time can lead one to a form of depression or even despair, because eventually most of us realize that we can't be good enough. Or we end up being filled with pride because we think that we can be and are being good enough, and often believe that nobody else is quite as good as we are. Either one of those are not good. We are free from the law, Paul says. But that's not all. He says that in this freedom, we are now also free for one another. Free to be servants of one another. Loving our neighbors by seeking to live for their well-being, not just our own. Don't use your freedom for self-indulgence, Paul says, but through love become servants of one another. Bear one another's burdens, he goes on to say later in this letter. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Some 500 years ago, Martin Luther, the beginning of the Reformation, captured this paradox perfectly when he said of us that a Christian is Lord of all, completely free of everything, and a Christian is a servant, completely attentive to the needs of all, both at the same time. Not because we have to, but because we can. Not because we must, but because we may, for Christ's sake. We live our lives for the well-being of other folk. We are at our most free when we are pouring ourselves out in love for people around us. And not just for the ones who look like us or believe like us or think like us, but for everyone. We are called in Christ to use our freedom for the sake of bearing one another's burdens and for serving the well-being of others. That's what freedom is about. And you know, there are ways that we can do this in the midst of ordinary life. Whether you're a banker or a nurse or you're retired or at home or in an office when you think that what you do doesn't matter. Or as it turns out, even if you're a bus driver. In his new book, How to Be Here, Rob Bell tells about a bus driver in New York City whose route takes him all over Manhattan. At his last stop at the end of the day, everybody gets off the bus before he then drives the bus over the bridge into Long Island where the bus is parked overnight. As he's pulling the bus up to that last stop, here's what this bus driver does. He tells the people on the bus to give him their problems. He says that he knows that life is difficult, that many of them are taking home from a day of work all kinds of burdens and anxiety and conflict. So he invites them to leave all of that, the burdens, the anxiety, the conflict, the issues, leave all of that with him so that they don't take it home to the people they love the most. He says he'll take their burdens and he will drive them across the bridge so that they don't have to carry them around anymore. Now, driving a bus can easily appear like a mundane job, Bell says. Like that driver is just a bus driver. The power of the story is that he is much more than just a bus driver. He's doing something far more significant than just getting people around town. Bell says that the Japanese have a word for this. Ikigai. Ikigai is what gets you out of bed in the morning, he says. Your ikigai is the sense that you have when you wake up in the morning, that there are new experiences to be had, that you have important work to do, a contribution to make. It may be a job, it may be your family, it may be something else. Sometimes this is referred to as our calling or our sense of vocation. Your ikigai is your reason for being. Our ikigai, our purpose as followers of Christ, is to use the freedom that's ours for sake of serving for the well-being of other people. That bus driver in Manhattan embodies this freedom about which Paul writes. bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what that bus driver is doing, you and I can do today. Indeed, the same Lord who will welcome us to his table in just a few moments calls us to live in just such a way as that, bearing burdens, welcoming the stranger, pouring our lives out for sake of love. How are you going to use your freedom to make someone else more free? In these xenophobic days of ours, when we are so tempted to put away those who seem to be other in whatever way, may our risen Lord continue to challenge us to use our freedom for sake of the freeing of other folk. And may our celebrations of freedom in these days continue to be a means of gracious welcome and love for all of God's people. Amen.